And welcome once again to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, your Capital Watch All-Stars. From the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, President and CEO, Rebecca Euler. Rebecca, great to be with you.
Good to be back again, Dave. Thank you.
And my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve,
Dave,
great. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Pleasure to be here.
So we're gonna take the listeners and sift through the still hot wreckage of the Pennsylvania primary election results and try to just, you know, sift through the entrails, read the tea leaves, whatever metaphor you want, to get a sense of what's going to happen when November comes around. So I guess, you know, obviously it was already predetermined what was going to happen, but at the presidential level, that President Biden was the victor with 93% of the vote. Interestingly, Donald Trump won the Republican nomination, but there was a pretty sizable vote for the other candidate on the ballot, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. She got 150,000 votes. That's significant, don't you think?
Yeah, it appeared that there were definitely some Republicans, and we have closed primaries in Pennsylvania,
right.
So only Republicans can vote in the Republican primary, only Democrats in the Democratic primary. So focusing on the Republican presidential primary, Nikki Haley, because of her efforts earlier, had gotten her name on the ballot. It was, and even though she had no longer been pursuing her campaign, it was sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, a meaningful number of Republicans voted for her rather than voting for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So something to keep an eye on. And just another, you know, Pennsylvania is, we are the epicenter. We are ground zero for
yep.
the elections this mm-hmm. fall for President of the United States and all the other elections that go with it. So there's going to be everything that happens in Pennsylvania is being closely watched, closely studied, and closely debated. So it's going to be an interesting year as these final chess pieces are sort of set in their places by the primaries.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I guess it wasn't entirely surprising because we know the polls have shown that a sizable number of voters don't like either of the choices.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that going in. But the one thing I found interesting about the Haley vote is it was really super high in the collar counties around Philadelphia. And as high as Montgomery County was 45%.
Wow.
So almost 45% of Republicans in Montgomery County did not vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely shows that there's some ground to be made up there, especially in those collar counties around Philadelphia.
Yeah. And again, both of these candidates, Biden and Trump, are such universally known personalities that it's like, is it possible for anybody to change their opinion?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. Time will tell. Of course, the other race that's going to be a focus of national attention is the battle for U.S. Senate, where incumbent U.S. Senator Bob Casey is being challenged by Republican businessman Dave McCormick. And they were both running without opposition, so they now are the official nominees of their respective parties.
And boy, that's another, like you said, an election that is going to be watched nationally. It can certainly affect the impact as to whether Republicans or Democrats control the U.S. Senate. And it's all happening here. We're going to be up front, close, personal with all these candidates as they try to get everywhere in Pennsylvania over the coming months. And all the media that's following them, not just regional media, but national media and international media. So it is. We're in ground zero here.
It's going to be a spectacle.
It's going to be a spectacle.
For sure.
And with huge consequences
right.
in terms
yep.
of policy going forward. So
right.
an important spectacle, but a spectacle none the least.
So, you know, looking at the U.S., the Pennsylvania U.S. congressional delegation, I suppose the two really notable things, you know, one would be that U.S. Representative Summer Lee out there in Allegheny and Westmoreland counties, that she survived her primary challenge. She won about 60-40. And that's the district that includes the city of Pittsburgh proper. And so it's an overwhelmingly Democratic seat. But, you know, Summer Lee has she's been the focus of a lot of controversy because of her very strident stand against Israel. And of course, you know, that Pittsburgh, you know, has a sizable and, you know, really distinguished and venerable Jewish community. And so it'll be interesting to see. I know that that Republican businessman James Hayes is going to be the candidate of the other party, and that he's a anyway, he's an interesting guy, African American businessman, military veteran, putting himself forward as a moderate problem solver. We'll see if some of that dissenting vote from the Democrat primary against Summerlee, if those folks would see fit to support her Republican challenger. So that'll be an interesting story. In the Lehigh Valley, that Republicans settled upon State Representative Ryan McKenzie to be their standard bearer going into the fall against U.S. Representative Susan Wild, who is, and again, that's that Lehigh Valley seat formerly held by Pat Toomey and by Charlie Dent, that it's considered one of those must-win pickups for the Republicans to continue to hold the U.S. House of Representatives.
And you see, especially on the Democratic side of the ledger, the sort of the battle for control of the party in within itself.
Mm-hmm.
You have again, you mentioned Summerlee being reelected, or at least
winning
her primary,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Renominated. And she is one of those that was pushing the party to move leftward at a time when there are many other Democrats who are feeling that they're losing touch with the left fringe of the party. And are they going to jump? Are they, once we get out of primary season, which now we're out,
mm-hmm.
Are they, when they look at the general election in the fall, are they going to want to be associated with the control that the far left is starting to take of many elements of the Democratic Party? Are they going to be able to hang with it? Or are they going to shift over and vote for Republicans, like in the U.S. Senate race? The presidential race, the congressional races.
Well, certainly, the horrific slaughter that was inflicted on Israelis on October 7 has given a lot of people pause. And, certainly now as we see these mass protests in American cities and on American campuses, essentially in support of Hamas and Hezbollah and these terror organizations, it's really kind of frightening. And again, we will learn whether this is a turning point in American politics, where the Jewish Americans traditionally have been overwhelmingly voters for the Democrats. If they see that their party has been infiltrated and essentially taken over by people who hate Jewish people, that's this is one of the lessons that we're going to learn as the result of the elections in November and all of the policy making posturing that happens between now and then.
Yeah, progressives have certainly been on the march in Pittsburgh for a couple of years now, in win after win. And Summerlee in the primary was definitely like we were just saying, is proof of that. But you're right. Now that we're in the general election season, I think it's going to be interesting to see how these issues now play out with a general election vote. So I just think it's going to be really interesting to watch in Pittsburgh.
So the lineup was also set for Pennsylvania's three statewide row officers that in the race for attorney general, which is an open seat, that the Democrats landed on former state auditor general Eugene DePasquale, who's a native of Western Pennsylvania. He had lived here in the mid-state, had been the state representative from York, the city of York, PA, and then had been the statewide elected auditor general. So he will be the nominee for attorney general, and that he will be up against York County district attorney Dave Sunday, who's put himself forward as being not merely the law and order candidate, but also sort of an advanced kind of social reformer. And it's interesting because Dave's got a really good record in York County of helping to reduce recidivism and lower the overall crime rate. And so he says it's accountability and redemption. And we'll see if he can, capture the zeitgeist with that kind of message.
And I've been able to work a little bit with Dave Sunday in his previous capacity, his current capacity as DA of York County, on some of the criminal justice reform legislation that we've advanced. And he's been very helpful on that. He understands the need for making sensible decisions that get people who don't belong in prison out when they're supposed to get out, making sure that simple probation violations that don't amount to much shouldn't end up putting a person back in prison for years. It doesn't do any good for them. It doesn't do any good for the crime rate or for the taxpayers who pay for that additional time in prison. So Sunday's been very good on those issues, but while at the same time being respected for his law and order views in terms of the mainstream. So seems like he's a very personable guy. Gene DePasquale, very experienced as well, so it's going to be a tough race.
Yeah, and of course that, you know, Rebecca, that statewide, that, you know, the Attorney General is probably the most prominent of the three row officers, and that, you know, people joke that, AG should stand for aspiring governor.
Yeah, it's certainly been the case over the past couple of attorney generals, for sure. But I do think you guys both make a great point about the law and order factor here, because we know that crime rates are up, especially in our cities. And I think that that is going to be an issue in this race, because attorney general is the number one law enforcement officer in the state. So I think that will be something that could really help Dave Sunday out in this race. He does bring that perspective and like you said, a balanced perspective to it. I think that will be exciting to watch.
You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Steve Bloom from the Commonwealth Foundation. So along with Attorney General, the other two row offices, of course, are State Treasurer and Auditor General. And interesting upset where in the race for State Treasurer, the Republicans, of course, you know, renominated the incumbent treasurer, Stacey Garrity, but that the Democrats actually rejected their endorsed candidate, State Representative Ryan Bizzaro from Erie, and instead chose Aaron McClelland from Allegheny County. So that was a real kind of a wild shift. Nobody saw that coming that I know of.
I think, yeah, most comments I had heard before Election Day were talking about a close race.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really even particularly close,
no,
as it turned out.
No, 55-45. Mm-hmm. And then for the Auditor General, the Republicans renominated Tim DeFore, the incumbent Auditor General, who is a certified public accountant and formerly worked as an investigator for the Attorney General's office and the State Inspector General, that the Democrats chose as their nominee State Representative Malcolm Kenyatta of Philadelphia, who is a new-ish member. He's been in for a couple of terms, I guess, but he's mostly known for being a gay rights activist.
And what a contrast, because if you look at our current Auditor General, Tim DeFore, he's the very definition of a quiet, reserved individual.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't speak that much, and when he does, it's in measured tones, and mm-hmm. he's very calm and almost trying not to be in the spotlight. Whereas Malcolm Kenyatta has made a name for himself by being extremely outspoken and, you know, making sure that you know he's in the room if he's in the room. So just the style, the contrast in styles between the two is going to be fascinating. And I'm sure there'll be some sort of debates along the way. And to watch the two of them on the debate stage would be just such an interesting exercise, because personalities just so utterly different from each other.
You're right. I'm looking forward to that.
And those are the, you know, those are the lineups with the three statewide row offices, the U.S. Senate race, and of course the presidential race. Those are all going to be consequential. And then, of course, we get to the results from the races for state Senate and for the state House of Representatives. That the balance of power will be determined by the outcome in these races. And actually, we even saw a few incumbent lawmakers go down to defeat.
Yeah, so unusual to see incumbent members of the General Assembly knocked out in a primary. We've seen a couple in this cycle, and we've seen a couple who barely hung on. And so that indicates sort of the degree of turmoil underlying both Republican Party and the Democratic Party, in terms of, you know, what elements of the party are going to exercise control over who the nominees are.
Yeah.
And so you saw these tough battles. And again, there were some close ones, and there were a whole lot, as per typical, where the incumbent won easily. But when you see these, it sends some shockwaves through the mindset of the leadership in both chambers. And everything's close in Pennsylvania. So it has that sort of impact of how will it affect the behavior of the representatives and senators, yeah. knowing that there could be a primary challenge for them down the road someday. And right now, keeping in mind our state Senate's divided with 28 Republicans, 22 Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Our state House is on that knife's edge of 102 Democrats and 100 Republicans. There was a special election that took place quietly amongst all the primary elections yesterday that elected the replacement in the 101st district, which had been vacant, or in the 139th district, rather, that had been vacant because of a member who resigned, putting the total back to 102 Democrats versus 101 Republicans in the state House, where it will likely remain unless there's another vacancy created over the next 6 months or so.
So this is and we saw also the outcomes of several of these races were exceedingly close. So as the listeners have heard me say, you know, many times over the year, that representative self-government is not a spectator sport, and that if you think that you can't make a difference or that your vote wouldn't matter, I would point you to some of these races where it's going to come down to a handful of votes. Things are going to have to be, you know, hand tallied and examined, and it matters.
And as we speak, there's one race where the challenger is ahead by 8 votes.
Wow.
And, you know, that's 8 votes.
8 votes.
So we don't know the impact yet, but there'll probably be some recounts and so forth that happen. But, you know, you see those kind of races and you realize how much your vote does matter. And if you encourage yourself, you go to the polls and you encourage a family member or two and maybe
mm-hmm.
a neighbor or two,
mm-hmm.
you could swing 8 votes.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that no matter how big and how expensive these campaigns get, it comes down to voters.
And it also, I think, in a way, it's kind of heartening that, you know, I'm sure that many people feel frustrated and, you know, kind of powerless in the face of a lot of these titanic political struggles, you know, presidential nominees that you'd prefer would just go away, you know, other issues that are, you know, thorny, and and we're all going to get battered by TV and radio ads and online ads for all of these races: president, U.S. Senate, U.S. House, the row offices, state Senate, state House. It's like there's going to be no escape from it. But, you know, in the end, we should each take solace knowing that, you know, this is still America, and that it's going to come down to the votes that are cast by voters as to how we're going to govern ourselves for the next 2, 4, 6 years.
And that's especially true in Pennsylvania, for sure. It's like we mentioned, we're going to be critically important to that Senate race. The Senate could hinge on Pennsylvania, the majority in the Senate. There's no doubt about that. And the presidential race as well, of course. So we are going to have a front row seat for that this year. There's no doubt about
it. Whether we like it or not.
Like it or not,
whether
exactly.
Whether we like it or not, yeah. So buckle in. It's going to be a busy 6 months here in Pennsylvania.
And choose to be involved. Choose to live life with your brain turned on. Learn the issues. Learn these candidates and office holders. You know, weigh them. See what they're talking about. What they, you know, where they want to take our Commonwealth and our country. Because, you know, again, it's up to us, each one of us individually, to be involved and to, you know, to exercise our citizenship by casting an informed ballot. So anyway, with that admonition, I'll wrap things up here. It was certainly an exciting primary. And you know, as we said at the outset, that this now casts the lines of battle for what things will look like in the fall. So I'll tell you what, Steve, where can people go to learn more about you and your group and the work that you do?
They can visit commonwealthfoundation.org on the web.
Outstanding. And Rebecca, where can people go to learn more about you and the fine work of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association?
They can find us at pmta.org.
Outstanding. Well, as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org and on the Pennsylvania Cable Network on Sunday mornings at 8:30 with PMA Perspective. So from Steve and Rebecca and me, we thank all of you for listening, and we will catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.